Hey guys, this is Pastor Zach, and you are listening to Sermon Notes here at HPC.
Turn with me real quickly to Matthew chapter 1. And I want to read a few verses here this morning, and I want you to be invited to stand with me. We're going to begin reading in verse 18. It says this: "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child." Everybody say, uh-oh. "By the Holy Spirit." Sure, okay. "And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.'" By the way, that save comes from sozo too. "Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet." And then he quotes the prophet: "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." It's Isaiah, which translated means "God with us." "And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we thank you that this is how it starts. And so, God, I pray that our hearts would be open to hear, to receive, and to be transformed by the power of your word and the power of your spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Y'all can have a seat. I want to talk through a couple of things, but first and foremost, I want us to appreciate how important it was to the Father that Jesus be given to the world in the context of a family. We live in a time when the idea of family has been so intentionally dismantled, deconstructed, and disintegrated. It's like everything that a family was known for, the order and the ministry, the covenant, and the commitment, the relationship, the equity of a family name, it's been eroded over time, intentionally, by the enemy, really, and the world's kind of fallen suit. But I just want us to appreciate that when Jesus could have just showed up, he could have walked down a golden set of stairs from heaven as a full-grown man and not had to go through all of the weird stuff of growing up. Any 12-year-olds in the room this morning? Like, Jesus could have totally avoided puberty. You know what I'm saying? But he didn't, because he wanted to be like us. And so I just want us to appreciate that family means that much to God. Family means that much to God. Your family means that much to God, that he would show us this family, to know that Jesus can come through us. This was not a family that had it all figured out, or maybe even if they thought they did, they didn't starting right now. At this point, by the way, there's a lot of words that are translated into a couple different translations. Some of us, they say they were engaged. Some of us have Bibles that call Mary his fiance. But I want us to understand that at this point in history, in this culture, there was not like an engagement like what we have. When you get engaged, but you're not, you know, you're waiting to get married. At this point, it would be sometimes a year-long process from the time that the papers were signed and the dowry was given and the commitment was made, when at that point we would start to call Mary betrothed to Joseph. From then until they were actually married, which was the celebration, which was followed by the consummation of the marriage covenant, okay? That's when the two people came together and made a baby. And so there was this wide period of time, and it's interesting that the Father picks, he chooses specifically, intentionally, this period of time. Because if it had been prior to this period of time, Mary would not have been in any relationship with Joseph, and this just would have been a pregnant teenage woman. But at the time, teenager, yeah. And at the time, because we're thinking she was 14-ish at the time, okay? Any 14-year-old in the room this morning? Yeah. So just process this with us, okay? And then whatever horror you're coming up with, times that by a million because it's 2,000 years ago in the Middle East, all right? So tracking this story, we find this window of maybe a year, and these are the people, and this is the time, and this is the family that the Lord chooses to conceive his son, Jesus Christ, in a womb that's inside of covenant, but not yet covenant consummated. Interesting. Interesting. So I feel like Joseph has always been sort of the unsung hero of the nativity. And I want to spend the next few minutes talking through a couple points about him. So she was engaged. She got pregnant. This is a time when Mary would have been extra careful to prove her sanctity, her purity, her chastity. This would have been a time when this was uber important. And yet this is a time when the Lord starts to, do something crazy. And Joseph found himself in the middle of what probably should have been, probably still was in the eyes of some people who were close to them and watching this play out, if we're honest, a lot of drama. And so when Joseph finds out, he does what any sensible man would do, and he considers his options. And one of his options is to quietly, politely remove himself from the equation. And then God shows up and asks him to do something crazy. And so I want us to just get ourselves in the shoes, in the sandals for a minute of Joseph, because I believe that in many ways, the Lord is still doing this today. We don't need a Messiah. We don't need another Jesus. Thankfully, that one finished the work on the cross. But we still have to have heaven conceive things inside of us at really inconvenient times. And the reason why I think that's important is because I think that there are probably some of us in this room this morning and at a time when the Father pointed at you, at a time when maybe an angel woke you up in the middle of the night and said, hey, you've been invited to be a part of something crazy, your response was, let me consider my options. And maybe even quietly disengage. Rocky, we all know you well enough. That's why you're gonna pray over everybody at the altar this morning. That's what you get for talking out in class. That was all of us. That was everybody in this room. You know how many times I hear from somebody week after week, it's like, man, I really felt the Lord told me to do this, but I didn't do it. I wasn't ready. I couldn't, I was too embarrassed. I was there with somebody else. I didn't wanna, whatever. We've got a million reasons to politely remove ourselves from the equation. Has anybody ever used this excuse, I knew God would just use somebody else? We had a really weird debate in our staff meeting one time about like how many Marys turned down the offer before Mary came. They're not in the Gospels, so this is not the Bible I'm teaching you. I'm just thinking, when I think today of how many people turn the Father down, I'm wondering how many 14-year-old girls had to be like, uh-uh. I want to be the demon-possessed girl in the Gospels. I don't want to be the one that has to get pregnant out of... So let's get back to the Bible here. We just have to appreciate for a minute how absolutely ridiculous of a request this was to Joseph. Listen, this girl you're betrothed to, this girl who's been promised to you by her father and their family that she's pure, she is actually pregnant, and don't worry, it's gonna be fine. And then I'm thinking, well, rest of the, at some point in here, Joseph's like tuned out of the second half of this, and he's like trying to process the first part of it. But can we learn something about the Father? A couple of things. Number one, when the Lord calls you to be part of something, it will probably be questionable at best. More likely, full-blown scandal. When the Lord calls you to be part of something, it's gonna be crazy. It's gonna be crazy. Number two, when he calls you to something, it's gonna be complicated. There's gonna be what seems like a million moving parts. And every time the Father, in his grace and mercy, reveals that plan to us, it comes across so simple. And sometimes we find ourselves in that argument with the Lord, don't we? We're like, God, you're making this sound really easy. Like, give up everything and follow you. Like, sell everything and do this. Like, quit my career, change career. Like, do this, go there. Leave this, do this. You make it sound so simple, but to us, it's gonna sound complicated. And finally, we're gonna feel slighted or slightly like a victim. Why? Because our flesh is being crucified in the process. If you were Joseph hearing this, hey, heaven is gonna be born through you. That sounds great. Hey, your virgin bride-to-be is actually already pregnant. Wait a minute. I thought that was supposed to be my job. And sometimes I think we get into these exchanges with the Lord where we can't do the math. That's how you know it's God. That's how you know it's God. My prayer is that as we go through a couple of these things, that we're gonna be convicted, that I'm gonna be convicted, and we're gonna be brought back to those moments when the Father called us aside and said, hey, I've got something for you. And whether or not we're somewhere in the process, maybe we totally turned him down years ago, or maybe we've come around full circle, wherever you are in this, hear his heart. The thing is that I'm just not convinced that some of these like tidy, compliant, convenient calls to ministry are really calls at all. Because if it posts well, or if it makes for a heartwarming bowl of chicken soup for the soulish, or it's at all marketable to the flesh, I'm gonna doubt how much of heaven is really being conceived in it. It's gonna be hard. Yeah, Merry Christmas. Yeah. Merry Christmas. No, you know why? This is the original Christmas story. It was not all the who's standing around Bethlehem singing, you know, Dasso Dore at the end of the Gospels. No, it's not that. It's all the reputation and the question that honestly isn't really in there, but we have to know it was in there. It wasn't important to the Father. That's why it's not in there. It was important to Joseph and Mary and their families whose name were on the line. That kind of stuff is important to us. And so we make decisions around it to protect it, to preserve it. And those decisions sometimes end up actually protecting us from what God wants. Security. I just want to say one more time, because I've been in this game for 60 something years now. And we count ministry in dog years. We just did this with our staff. It's like, if you've been here, you know, since the beginning of the church, you're actually 145 years old. And in March, come this March, that's right. So your life switches and it's awesome. But I've been around this long enough to see people with a call for the sake of the glam of it. People for a call for the sake of how well it posts. And all the words around it are dressed to sell. But the word from the Father is dressed to kill. To kill your flesh. I was talking, we were talking to so many folks that come through in ministry, and God sends a lot of people here who've gone through hell. And their ministry is still there. They've jumped on the grenade to protect their ministry and their calling. And so many relationships, there's been so much fallout. in New England, ministry has been like a war zone for, you know, decades. But what's beautiful about this is that folks come in and the Lord, ever since we went through the fire we went through coming into planting HPC almost 15 years ago now, ever since then, my ears turn toward the sound of fire. Like when I hear a story that is like riddled with crazy, I'm like, that sounds like God. It's not the neat little, like, I went to Bible school and graduated and worked my way up the ladder and now I'm here. My first question is, what hell have you gone through? How many bodies are buried? I'm just kidding, not that one. But what have you gone through? What have you gone through? What has hurt? What has killed? What has crucified flesh in your life? And when we can get to that, I believe that God looks for a vessel that he can make a mess in. We think of vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor, and we think the vessels of dishonor are like, you know, the paper plates that are disposable at the end, and the vessels of honor are the nice china on the shelf in the cabinet that you get out for Christmas. But I believe that vessels of honor in the kingdom is any vessel God can make a mess in. Any vessel that he can use. Any vessel that he can mix up the butter, you know, and like everything explodes everywhere, make a mess in the kitchen. Why? Because he's into messes. And if your life feels like a mess this morning, I don't want you to give it a second thought. But know this, if you know anything, know this, God is at work in you today. Today. He's working in you today. Hey, my mic's going out. So let's keep going. So most of us in this room have done exactly what Joseph planned to do. We politely excuse ourselves from the social suicide of what obedience would do to our reputation. Saints, this is 2025, and I don't think anybody would argue that the harvest is great right now. The problem with a great harvest is that we put all of our attention on the harvest instead of the laborers, of which there are few. I heard somebody say recently, in fact, it might have been in Israel, somebody was talking about how, you know, all our eyes are on the harvest and we see this incredible second wave of the lost coming in. We want to shift our attention to that, but the fivefold gifts of the church are for the equipping of the saints. Because what we're told is not just that the harvest would be great, but that the laborers would actually be too few. Very few. So our response is not, let's go get the harvest. Our response is, let's make some laborers. Amen? Zach, what does that have to do with this? I'm going to say that right now, we need to be Joseph's. We need to be Joseph's protecting Mary's. We need to be Joseph's looking for wombs within which heaven has been conceived. Opportunities for Jesus Christ to be born, for the Holy Spirit to move, for heaven to come and the Father's will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And if we can start to see our job as a Joseph, because frankly, up until this point, a lot of us can relate. Yeah, even if this is like your second or third time, it's like, oh, you know, I do feel like I was supposed to do this and I kind of been somewhere on the threshold, riding the fence. People use riding the fence a lot. Have you ever ridden the fence? I'm just telling you. Think about how uncomfortable that is. At some point, you're just going to be like, all right, where's she at? Let's just do this. We need a generation of Josephs to rise up and get a hold of the unexpected, inconvenient, inefficient, things that God's called us to do and protect them with all that we have. Come into covenant with them. Sell out for them. And finally, that protection so often means protecting it from ourselves. That last line, but he kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son and he called his name Jesus. I don't know how people preach so much of the word like inoffensively. I haven't figured it out yet, and I get it. I mean, like, we can do it. Whole Bible translations have been written to take out the hard to digest stuff, the stuff that feels impalpable. But I read this and I'm thinking, man, here's this guy already getting this news. Now he's supposed to come into covenant with her and basically live a lie to his community, because the consummation was a huge part of a Judean marriage. Like, this was a really big deal. Okay? It had to be like proven publicly that this woman was a virgin. So somehow they're figuring out how to get around all of the expectations of their culture. Imagine that. Imagine if we became a people, if we became a Joseph generation that said, you know what? Our culture has expectations on us. But the will of the Father is more important in our lives. And protecting what he's doing in us is more important. Protecting what he's doing in our children is more important than meeting these cultural and communal expectations. What if we were that church? What if this was that generation? I'm convinced that that's what would change the world. I really am. That's why the harvest is great, but the laborers are few, because so many of the laborers compromised somewhere along the way, at some generation past, compromised the integrity of that covenant to meet those expectations. He kept her a virgin until after she gave birth to Jesus. The most important thing that Joseph had to protect Mary from was not the disgrace of this situation. He had to protect her from himself. What he thought he deserved, what he thought was owed to him. Sometimes we misunderstand partnering with God to mean that we sow our seed over his. God's conceiving something in Mary. Okay, I'll do that too. But the problem then is that we take the credit for all the good fruit from his seed and blame him for all the bad fruit from ours. Remember Abraham? God has a plan. God's going to supernaturally do something between Abraham and Sarah, well beyond their, you know, child-making years. But Abraham wants to partner with God and says, okay, looks around, I'll put a baby in Hagar. Boom, Ishmael is born. And to this day, it is a problem for the people of God. To this day. Why? Because when we sow our seed over his, we create chaos. Like Haggai in Esther, there's a need for people who can be trusted with a bride whose womb is reserved for heaven. If you remember Haggai, he was the eunuch. I think there's like a handful of eunuchs who are named in the book of Esther. And I was speaking to the youth during a transition a few years back about how ministers will come and go, pastors will come and go. But it's important that we're not here to put our name on things. We're not here to procreate ourselves. We're not here to conceive something of us into a church. Anybody know Gordon MacDonald? I was talking with him at a conference a couple years ago in New Hampshire. And it just happened, this conference is always in March, and Gordon's up there and he's sharing, you know, he's got 7,000 years of wisdom and almost that many books that he's written. And he's standing there and he was telling us, I don't think any pastor should stay at a church longer than 12 years. And this is what's crazy. The Sunday that I got in the truck and left church and drove to that conference was our 12-year anniversary from when the church started. And so I'm like, I know to you guys, I seem like really confident and like I always know what's going on and I have a full grasp of everything. all the time. But when I hear something like that, especially from somebody like third party who's like has a lot of wisdom, I'm a guy who's like, oh shoot, Lord, did I just come here to do this because of that? Like, am I here to hear this right now? Is it time for me and Ashley to like pack up, or at least me? I mean, Ashley could stay and I could get a job at Tractor Supply. I feel like I'm at Tractor Supply enough already that I should be on the payroll. And so I'm thinking, you know, I've got Josiah McLagan on speed dial to see if he can put me on more hours landscaping. I'm like, we can figure this out if it's time for me to go. And I pulled him aside in the lunch line afterward. And I'm like, there's about 20 guys there. And I'm like, I wonder if I'm gonna get a chance to just talk to him. I pulled him aside. I was like, hey, what's the deal with the 12 years thing? Why 12 years? Why not 13? Let's call it a baker's dozen, you know? Can we revisit this next year? And he said, Zach, he said, because what happens around that time, and he's saying this from all the churches that he's gone in and run interference on and all the congregations and pastors that he's done damage control with and everything else. He said, around 12 years, churches start to take on too much of the identity of the pastor. And so I took that back to the Lord. And I was like, God, I don't want this move to look more like me than it does you. I don't need to be the father of this. I need you to be the father and your church to be a place where you can sow the seed of the kingdom for this thing to come to fruition. And then the Lord's like, you're not the pastor, you're just the worship leader. It's fine. Okay, thank you, Lord. And we lived to tell another year. No, I mean it because the Lord's always been number one. And everybody on our team, everybody on our staff, from our elders to our executive team, nobody has that stubborn hard-heartedness that it has to be our way. And that's what's so beautiful about the people that God's gathered here. When you meet these people, when you sit down and talk with the folks that are leading this church right now, what you find is nobody needs their name on it. Nobody needs their name on it. Nobody even wants their name on it. They want to know that New England is experiencing a move of God because of what we're protecting here. So that eunuch in Esther, his job is to make Esther beautiful. His job is to protect her. His job is to make sure that she smells perfect, looks perfect, her makeup, her clothes, her hair. There's a whole team and they're all eunuchs. Why? So they pose no threat to the womb that is reserved for the kingdom. The enemy will tempt us with the beauty and fertility of the church. Our flesh will always want to procreate its own progeny within her. Simon the sorcerer, he sought the power of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he recognized the lucrative potential that not only wielding the power of the Spirit, but wielding the power of influence. Because when you walk in the Spirit, people will follow you. When you say yes to that crazy thing that God's called you to do, people will follow you. And not just on social media. They will follow you. They will want to know, hey, how do I manage this issue? How do I navigate this problem? How do I get through this season of my life? People will start to come around you. Why? Because with that conception comes the wisdom and discernment of heaven. With what is being conceived and the seed that's being sown comes download from heaven of how to protect and how to preserve. We've got to be careful with it. That's why as a church, we don't rent out crowds. People have come over the years and they've said, hey, we want to do this thing at your church. And we always say, okay, you can use the room, but you can't use our people. And then I've sat in the back of a couple of things that have taken place here. This is going back years ago, and I'm like, thank God we didn't announce this. We don't rent out the crowd. Hey, you guys have a pretty big church. You got a pretty big room. You got a lot of people there. We want to bless you with, okay. Go bless yourself. Now you're all thinking, what did we miss? Because you turned it down. None of the good stuff. I promise you that. You didn't miss anything. But I want to just close. I want to close with this, if you would stand with me. I want to close with this because I think it's important that we get here. It's not important that our flesh gets satisfied. It's not important that we get what we want. Well, Zach, I only signed up for this because I need prayers to be answered. What's important to know and what's included in here is that Jesus ended up with brothers, like a handful of them. He ended up with brothers, like in a normal family. And what that tells us is that Joseph was still able to enjoy and fulfill this covenant. Sometimes I think we think that saying yes and the radical obedience to the Lord means that, okay, well, I'm just giving up myself, like everything for this, you know, monastic existence. And, you know, I'm gonna go live in a cave somewhere and whatever. No, he's actually called you to just a million time better version of normal. It's not crazy. It looks crazy. At first, it feels crazy. But what it really is it's a life. It's a life that's touched, blessed, kissed by heaven. It's a life that's provided for. A life where your needs are met. A life where when you run into crazy things and obstacles and troubles, that you cry out, you call out on that name. And now knowing that because a little bit of heaven has been given to you, you have immediate access. Saints, if you're in this room this morning and you feel like, you know what? My life feels like I'm in chaos right now. It's not just a Christmas chaos. It's like a spiral type of chaos. Maybe everybody knows, maybe nobody knows. I just want to tell you, heaven knows. And you're in this room this morning because he's got his finger on your life. And he holds your heart in the palm of his hand and he's calling you closer. Would you protect this thing that I'm doing in you? Would you be careful with it? Even in places where you have to shut down the expectations of the world. Even in places where sometimes the people that you've been the closest to have just been a crutch that you've been limping along on, and the Lord wants to straighten out your walk. If you're in the room this morning and you say, I could use some prayer, Zach, we're gonna do some worship, we're gonna close, but we have plenty of time. And if you're here, I wanna invite you out of your seat, come down to this altar, and let's close out this year backtracking those steps. The steps where we politely excused ourselves from the call of God on our lives. Those places where we were kind of like, meh, seems too crazy. I need a little more normal than that. If that's where you're at this morning, saints, I want to invite you, meet us down at this altar this morning. And take this time, take these moments as a time of opportunity to retrace those steps back into his presence and say, yes, here am I, send me. Yes, here am I, I'll go. I look out across this room and there are some magnificent calls in this room. There are some untapped destiny here. Because of what God's put in you, dreams he's given you, seed that he's sown within the womb of your spirit, because he trusted you to protect and to preserve. And now you're not just Mary, you're Joseph too. And it's time to prioritize that. It's time to come back to that. I've watched women like make radical life changes when they find out they're pregnant. I've watched women, you know, stop smoking and stop eating deli meat for some reason. Get rid of their cats. I heard litter boxes, I guess, are bad for pregnant. I don't know. Radical sacrifices, but here's the beautiful part. The Spirit of God is behind you in this. And you may stand in this room today and say, Zach, I'm not powerful enough to make the changes that are required to do this right. He called the wrong guy. No, now you're saying God made a mistake. I just look out and I don't want to see a lot of Marys that missed it. I don't want to see people who said, yeah, my life went by and I kept shirking that incredible blessing, that incredible call. And what I've found, we'll get to prayer in just a minute here. What I've found is that those that feel the most chaotic, those that feel the most distracted and disrupted, those stories in the room that are like a dumpster fire without a cause, those are the ones with the greatest call. Those are the people we end up hiring, because that's who our God is. He takes those kinds of stories, and those are the people who say, he who's been forgiven much loves much. He who's got the most junk in their story has the greatest story to tell. So Father, we thank you for Joseph's story. We thank you that Joseph's story is a Jesus story, but that just like Joseph, we can have a Jesus story too. And so Lord, wherever we've gone wrong, or maybe it was of no fault of our own, but wherever the world has gone wrong around us, wherever our circumstances have crashed and burned, and we've been a casualty, or an innocent bystander that's been wounded along the way, God, whatever it is, I thank you for the call to protect, the call to come into it anyway and embrace it, knowing that you're in the mix, knowing that you're here and you're moving, you're speaking, you're revealing heaven in us and through us.
This is Pastor Zach, and you've been listening to HPC Sermon Notes. Love you guys. God bless you, and have the best day of your life.